Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is for April the 10th, 2021. We're going to look at kind of an enigma, why me kind of thing. I get a lot of this in my work with people. They all experience basically things that they don't think they deserve to have happen to them, and they'll interpret these things as bad and then make a deal out of it, make a problem out of it. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. I am grateful that people share like this with me. I'm deeply moved by that. That is a very sweet thing that you do. If you ever have a question or something you wanted me to discuss with you here on the radio, all you have to do is email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And I will get your email and we'll talk. This particular program is about me. Who is this me? And what constitutes what happens to us through the me? Is the me your karma? Is the me your psychology? Is the me your life in general? Is the me your persona, your ego? What is this me? And it kind of formulates in all sorts of different ways. And here's what I have found in my work for myself. Everything that happens is there as a partial message to a bigger message, a bigger degree than I humanly can understand. So I have to have a sense of consciousness and never allow myself to come to conclusions about what is going on in my life or what has happened in my life with the idea of attaching some kind of meaning to it that is symbolic of Greg's understanding of whatever he thinks he understands about people, objects, and things, what he thinks he understands about himself, what he thinks he understands about others. Greg is not privy to the truth, so it isn't really important what he thinks. Once consciousness has been realized and once a person starts to live in consciousness, then all the things that happen, all the occurrences, suddenly don't have the, what do I want to say, the gravitas of pushing me into conclusions. When I'm no longer looking for reasons and conclusions for things that happen to me, I am then in the flow of a bigger stream of life through consciousness, and I start to realize the importance of my living and the difference between my living and life itself, which is something that most people just can't do. They don't want to do that. So we'll take a look at these questions. These are honorable questions that I'm about to give to you, sent to me in a, what do I want to say, sincere manner. And I always appreciate that. The first question comes from a guy. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, is everything that comes down on me, to me, is it my fault? And are the good things I've done right? Are the bad things the things I've done wrong? I am so confused, Guy. Guy, I want to thank you for the totality of your email and the parts I'm not reading and your kind words. I just want to say that to you right off the bat. So why does everything happen to us the way it does? Because, as I've said so many times to you, it happens because that is the only way it can happen. And that is what is truly important, that everything happens just the way it needs to happen. So with all that being said, it is important to understand that we only see a partial partial narrative of a much bigger story than our egos and our mentality, our mental acumen, can generally handle. We're not seeing the whole story. We're only seeing a small fragment of it. So when something appears, Guy, to happen to us that is, as you put it in your email, bad, it is often a prelude to something else that is happening. It's showing you the way the stream is going of your life. And it should not be taken in a, personal way. And yet it is highly personal. You need to see that sometimes the dips where things go awry doesn't mean that they are not a prelude to the heights of the things about to come. Sometimes they're fingers saying to me, don't go there, go here. Or you hit a ditch, now get out of it and come back over here. To me, it means don't keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And in my lifetime, I've found myself repeating certain states of mind, mentality, attitudes, and hitting that pothole in the road of my life over and over until I realized, oh, that's what I'm doing. You start to understand that that's a nowhere street. That's a no-ending pothole that you're going to hit over and over and over again, kind of like in Groundhog Day when he keeps stepping into the cold water on the street, you know, with the hole in the street, and he just it's not paying attention, and he just hits that street, and there's this hole there in the street from the sidewalk, and he gets his pants all wet and his shoes all wet, and he's cold and blah blah blah. That we've all done that over and over and over and over again. And so when you start to look at it from the point of view of a bigger picture, you can see that you're not being punished. Actually, none of us ever get punished. We are being shown what the consequences are of ourselves upon our own life. That's all we're being shown. Now, how I go about this, the way I go about this, the method I use to live my life, has to be altered or changed, typically changed. And you can't make it a pattern. You can't look at it like it's a pattern. Let me give you an example of something. When I was a kid, I would save my money, and we would go up to this shopping center in San Diego, and there was a drugstore there. My favorite time of year at that time was, and still is, Halloween. So we would go up there and we would look at the masks and the Halloween decorations and all of that. It was just wonderful. I remember it vividly. And I would do puppet shows, and I would pick weeds, and I would mow lawns. So I had some money, okay? And when the time rolled around that September, that's when we would go up and get all the goodies. Well, I had a friend who never worked. He never did anything, but he always had money. I could never understand it. Now, money in those days was, what, $3, $2? That was big money. I remember the most I made on a summer was maybe $15. So he always had more money than I did, and he always was playing. He never had to work. He never did things like I did. So I asked him where we were going to go up and do the Halloween thing. And I asked him, how is it you have money? Do your parents give it to you? He said, no. No, he said, I'll show you. And we went up, and there was this phone booth at FedMart. Believe it or not, they had a FedMart there. And he knew how to flip the phone, the change part of it, you know, where your change dropped in and gave you back your money for whatever reason. He could flip it and he could make money come out of it over and over. And I stood there and I watched him as my jaw hit the ground. He had 10 bucks before I knew it. I mean, it was unbelievable. So there, I think that people are looking at their lives like that. They are looking for some free money or free things to happen. And I told him, I said, but what about the phone company? And he's, you know, the usual screw them kind of attitude. And we went on. I was aghast at this. I really was. And I looked at myself and I thought, well, I can't do that. But when I was looking at what he was doing, I could see I couldn't do that either. Yeah, I couldn't. I can't do that. And you start to look at your life and see what you brought on. Later on in his life, you might know what happened to Glenn. His name was Glenn. And yes, he did go eventually to jail when he was in his 30s. So we bring it on ourselves. We find ways and methods and think that we're doing okay by what we're doing to do what we want to do. And that's as far as it goes. Everything that comes down to us or down upon us is there by our own volition, by our own energetics, by the things that we think have no consequence. And if you can understand this, guy, this will help you. Everything you do, everything I do, even this radio program I'm doing, has consequences to it. And you want to be able to understand that you don't want to be flipping that little return thing on the phone, whatever that is, change thing. You don't want to take what's not yours. You want to be able to live your life in accord with your loving heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart, your authentic heart. And if you're willing to do something like that, then something of a grander nature can happen to you, much grander. And you just follow it. You don't come to assumption, conclusion. You just follow the way. Just keep following the way. And if you can't explore your values, your morals, what you would call your morals, the things you're capable of doing, the things you're incapable of doing. If you can't explore those things, now's the time in your life to do it, because it can be very helpful to your livingness. Really, a lot is revealed by realizing, what would I do? What am I capable of doing in this lifetime? Always love, my friend, always. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from King, and that's his first name. He doesn't tell me his last, nor does he tell me where he lives. Why do some things happen to others that seem good and not to me? King. Then in his email down at the bottom, he said the reverse is true from time to time, that he gets away with things that others don't, and he wondered why. And then he goes into the whole idea of life is unfair and very hard to figure out. King, life is not about fair and unfair. It just isn't. You could look at it that way if you want and make yourself believe that that's true, but that's really not the way it works. Life is the principle of the matter, the all-abiding principle of love. Our living and how we live towards that all-abiding principle of love is another thing. And most of us waver back and forth. We're like drunks. We just waver back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And we never really stay on the path too far too long, because the temptation to do what we want to do, or we think we should do, or we think that would benefit us in a greater way than being just, say, kind or loving is just not there. So the deal is, things happen to people, once again, to show us the way. If you are astute at watching in third person, if you're astute at pulling back and not allowing your mind to create, shall we say, excuses or alibis, make up stories, make yourself believe in this, that, and the other. If you can just watch without the dualistic mind, you will start to see how things operate. And that nothing is happening without being linked to something else that is going to happen from something else that already has happened that we all initiated in our life. And we keep this pattern going on and on and on. We rarely understand what we're doing. We aren't much interested in the bigger picture that is life. We are only interested in the living of what we think of as our life. And so some things happen to some of us, and they appear to be better than other people and what happens to them. But that is all conjecture and bias and foolish judgment. We're all in the same boat together. We're all in this human world, this world where the human reigns supreme, and very few of us ever discover the divine that is life itself. If you look at your life from the premise of your livingness, how you live with yourself, with your circumstances, with your conditions, with everything, when you do that, you live in estranged. That's the only word I can think of. To live naked in this world, subject to the criminality of living in the bias of human genetics, you're going to find great difficulty. And that's the way most people live. But if you live in the awareness of what life is, love, life is love. And you can explore that love through consciousness, through meditation, through conscious living, through sacrificing whatever it is that you believe makes life meaningful to you and gives you the livingness you want. If you can do any and all of that, you can change the way you operate, and you will also find life will be gracious and will coordinate with you. Life and living need to be coordinated together. If you understand the meaning of life, you can coordinate your livingness to gel into that, to dance with that, to cooperate, to merge, to become harmonious. Now, this is all very difficult to understand if you take life literally, and that's the problem. My words fall on deaf ears most of the time because people generally are living in their livingness in a literal way. So black is black and white is white and green is green and purple's purple and red is red, and that's all they know. But there's far more to this life than all of that. And nothing is happening the way Greg Penn thinks it's happening. And until I start to look at things from awareness rather than Greg's bias, I am not going to realize anything meaningful in this lifetime. And I will always think that certain things happen to certain people and not to me, and blah, 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 and going back and forth. Remember, everything's a setup, King. Everything. Everything that happens, something good happens, it's a setup for something else that's trying to happen that has nothing to do with good or bad or right or wrong. It has to do with the perspective of seeing the bigger picture of my life, your life, and not being fooled by the matter of appearances and thinking that life is about what you get and have rather than realizing what you are. you are love. That's all this is. Oh, King, I hope I helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question comes from Ralph, and he says he lives in California. Is there some thing to living, he says, a better life than others that makes for happiness, Ralph? Ralph, this is a loaded question. What is a better life? Better than others, really? I think, and I wish you were here to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think what you mean is there's a better life than what people generally live, and there's something to be said about that. There is, yeah, something that you want to understand. I'm sitting here laughing at myself, thinking, boy, if I answered this, I'll just answer it. Everything is appropriate to the person who's engaged in the activity of the living. Whatever is happening to us, it is absolutely appropriate. And don't think because you have maybe a different lifestyle, a more comfortable lifestyle, more money, more whatever, that you have achieved something because you haven't. Okay? The deficit is in thinking that whatever we obtain is an attainment. And it's not. It's just not. We don't attain consciousness for the sake of obtaining money, okay, or a better lifestyle or whatever, healing. It doesn't matter. We do what we do to awaken out of this primitive body and into the light of love, into the light of the heart, the authentic heart. Of course, not thinking of it as the human heart. So try to understand that. It's all about love. That's all this thing is about. But it's not the love that the human heart can appreciate nor understand. So everything I do is the chance to attain to love. Love is life, and life is love. And just using that word life and love is so deceiving to most of us because we have absolutely no interest at all in what true authentic love is all about. We just don't have that. We don't have the kind of mind that understands love. We make it a moral issue or a personal issue or an emotional issue or a passionate issue. It's none of those things. Love is consciousness, and it is realized through consciousness. And when Jesus said God is love, that's exactly what he meant. It is love. But we miss all this because we're too busy fabricating narratives in our minds that make us believe that we're doing better than others or lesser than others. We should be challenged by others. We should push the envelope. We're doing all of that constantly, over and over and over again. It makes us unintelligent, unkind, and ruthless. And it is the emperor of all malice, when we think we're doing good. Never think about doing good. Only be aware of goodness in others, goodness that unites you with others. And if you can recognize that, understand that, appreciate that, then something of the other shore can come to you very quickly, and you will find the meaning of your own existence, which is the greatest discovery of love there is, the meaning that is your existence. I'm out of here. I'm running out of time. Thank you, Ralph, for your very kind question. If you have a question again, just greg@aspired.org. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.